This is Radio Eco Shock with Alex Smith.
I guess I'll get a cart and a mule.
The gas is too high.
I can't find my kids to school.
The gas is too high.
I don't know what they're doing. Giving me the gas pump blues.
Has peak oil been blown away by shale tar sands and fracking? What industries are already in trouble with today's high oil prices? A joint study between the University of Maryland and a Barcelona university digs deep into our energy future. Our guest is Christian Kirchner. He's with the Institut de Ciencia y Tecnología.
It's the Institute of Environmental Science and Technology from the Autonomous University of Barcelona.
We've reached Christian in Berlin. Welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Hello. Hi, Alex.
Well, first of all, what stimulated this joint university project called Economic Vulnerability to Peak Oil?
This research is part of, or the outcome of, my PhD research. I did a PhD in ecological economics, and from the very beginning on, this was motivated by concerns of supply restrictions of resources and limits to growth. And this is how I came across the topic of peak oil. And I realized that there was a great need of studying impacts and what this would mean for the economies.
I thought only alternative energy thinkers took peak oil seriously. Isn't it unusual for universities to study this?
Not at all anymore. I mean, this might have been the case for some time. I would say that peak oil in general is slowly entering a mainstream audience, only that they might use different wordings for it. For example, there's been also reports by the US and German armed forces, so already some time ago, about the phenomenon. There are now research projects funded by the state, for example, in Austria, and, in terms of adaptation and reducing the risks and so on.
And to be clear, you and your co-authors are not saying that oil is running out anytime soon, are you?
No, not at all. This is a great misunderstanding of the resource debate. Peak oil is not about running out. What we are running out is cheap oil. So we're not running out of oil, but of cheap oil and cheap energy. And in fact, if you want to say it like this, we will never really run out of oil. It's just that at some point, it's going to be so expensive that we're going to buy it only for certain applications and in small quantities. Like it is already the reality today in very poor countries where people buy petrol and kerosene in liter bottles.
And Christian Kirchner, although you are in Europe, your study picked the American economy as your model. Why is that?
There are many reasons for that. One is that the U.S. is the biggest consumer of oil. It's one of the largest or the largest economy of the world. And as a scientist, you also always have the restriction of data availability, which has to be taken into account. And there's very good data for the U.S. And although I'm European, the rest of the team that was involved in this project, they are now working in the U.S., as you know. So there were several reasons for this approach, of this choice of case study.
There's a very good graphic that accompanies your paper in the journal Global Environmental Change. It helped me to understand the paper. Could you try and describe the vulnerability map?
Yes. This is the key outcome that depicts what we found, and we chose the graph especially to make it visible what it means, what we found out, or what we tried to show. We have here a graph where you see bubbles, and the bubbles basically represent economic sectors. And the size of the bubbles represents their vulnerability to peak oil. For this, we use price increases. So if you have a price increase of oil in general in the U.S., how much would the prices of the outputs of those sectors or the products of those sectors increase according to the model we have used? This is the size of the bubble. Then you have the x-axis. On the x-axis, we show the importance of the sector in terms of contribution to GDP. And on the y-axis, we show importance in terms of structure. In terms of structure, this means that how important is this sector for all other sectors? How many relations does it have to other sectors? It might be an insignificant sector like plastics, for example, which doesn't bring a lot of income, but a lot of the other sectors depend on its output. So it's structurally important. And then you end up with this graph, and you end up with different interpretations, of course. But the way we see it as one interpretation is that those sectors of the top right, which are very big, large circles, big bubbles, highly vulnerable, that they are a problem for the entire economy. Why? Because they are really important in terms of the structure and income. So we really need them. And at the same time, they are very vulnerable. So if prices increase, if we have scarcities, then those sectors could put the entire economy into trouble.
Well, getting to the findings, what sectors and industries are most vulnerable to peak oil?
Okay, I'm only going to mention a few examples. One of them would be the metals industry. Another very obvious one is transport industry, especially air transport. And then we have fertilizers and the petrochemical industry, which is also quite obvious.
I don't understand why the metals industry is included.
Well, the metal industry is one of the most energy-intensive sectors that we have. You need a lot of energy in order to produce the products of those sectors.
Okay. Well, can you go into more detail about the impact of one particular industry exposed to higher oil prices or supply constraints?
Okay. If you take it like this, the inputs of a certain sector, let's take fertilizers, for example. Now, fertilizer industry is subject to higher oil prices. This means fertilizers become more expensive. The outputs of that sector are more expensive. This can lead to a shockwave of price increases down the supply chain of that sector. And since that sector will be very important and will have a large supply chain, it will affect the economy quite a lot and make a lot of the products that we need every day a lot more expensive. So for fertilizers, it would be food production. It does not mean, at the same time, that this sector will go bankrupt. On the contrary, it could have different results. That sector could still be very prosperous in a way. It depends on the substitution possibilities.
This is Radio EcoShock. We're talking peak oil from a new study done by universities in the United States and Europe. Our guest is Christian Kirchner, a specialist in ecological economics. I expect some investment firms will look closely at your findings. For example, a pension fund may not want to buy 30-year bonds in airlines or chemical plants. What can you tell us about that?
As I said already before, this is a complete wrong interpretation of our findings. In fact, it could mean the opposite. Not necessarily, of course, but it could mean that the fertilizer industry, for example, or take another industry, that it becomes it's very good for it because it's surviving in exchange of some other sectors which might disappear. It all depends on how possible it is to substitute the outputs of that sector and how essential that sector really is.
We generally, Christian, tend to think of fossil fuels becoming limited or at least more expensive because of resource constraints, but there are extreme weather events and fires attributed to climate change. Did your team consider a future bottleneck due to either carbon taxes or public boycotts of industries even damaging the atmosphere?
No, we did that. We did not do that in this time round, but our model allows an interpretation for such or an inclusion of such scenarios. And what's more, it can actually help to design carbon policies, for example. You can easily use the model to determine which of the sectors you want to phase out, for example, or which you want to protect, and others which you want to get rid of or which you don't want to have them so important for your economy.
In addition to peak oil and resource scarcity, you personally have also studied and published about steady state economics. And again, I may have a misunderstanding here, but I thought that an economy which survives on its own carbon use would have to be much smaller. What do you say to that?
I agree. This is why I also talk about degrowth as a necessary, degrowth in a socially benign way, a process to reduce our energy and material throughput in the rich countries, to bring them to a level that is sustainable globally.
We've had some degrowth conferences, so there is a lot of discussion about that. I want to get back to your study, Economic Vulnerability to Peak Oil. I was intrigued by the concept that energy flows may be limited simply by available technology, if I understood it. Does that imply no matter how much money we throw at developing fossil fuels, we may hit a ceiling, a point where the return on investment is just too low to continue?
Yes, of course, that's absolutely right. Below a certain ratio of energy input versus energy output, a resource becomes or fails to be a primary energy resource. Once you get less energy out than you put in the first place, you will not use that resource anymore, no matter how high the price is. It's not going to be an energy resource. You might use that product like oil for other applications, more higher priced applications, but not as a primary energy resource. Technology can, of course, improve that ratio. There's a nice example of peak oil is sometimes described also as this fruit tree, where we've already eaten most of the very low-hanging fruits, and we need to get higher and higher up to get the really good fruits. And this is a very tall tree. So at some point, if you imagine it very tall, the ladder has to be so high, and it takes so much time and effort to climb up that it's not worth it anymore.
What do you hope for this new study? What does your team expect it will do?
Well, what we want to do is, first of all, we want to emphasize the research that has been done that pointed the proximity of the phenomenon and the dangers, so that it is taken serious. And then we want to go beyond, or we would like to see a process that takes us beyond the discussion of peak oil yes or peak oil no, because there's many reasons for why we should initiate a process towards a post-carbon economy. There is also climate change, for example, and resource limits per se. They can be positive, because they give us the right push in the right direction. So whereas a lot of people see peak oil as doom mongering, and say this is pessimism, I often say that I feel quite optimistic about it, because it gives us opportunities to look in different directions.
Well, Christian Kirschner, you've picked a specialty which is real, it's important, and it's not very popular with the fossil fuel and mining industries right now. Do you feel resistance to people talking about resource limits?
Yes, one could say so. It's not the same with all oil companies, for example. There are some oil companies which do acknowledge peak oil, and some of them, I would say, they are not very many, but then the next question or next problem is, of course, what is the policy recommendation? And one not very desirable, in my opinion, is then that we need to drill more in order to make sure that we don't reach peak oil so fast.
Okay. And do you sense that there is a growing interest in peak oil and resource depletion in, say, the public or in governments?
In general, I would say yes. Again, I would say that the term peak oil is avoided in many of those debates. And in the U.S., because of the shale oil developments, or the shale gas developments, much better, there has been now this boom and this idea that peak oil is dead in a way. And many arguments why we don't agree with such a judgment, which I don't want to go into now. But in sustainability sciences, it's very much already an accepted fact. And also, there is already studies funded by national research bodies in order to look at, to make us more resilient and so on.
Well, listeners, I think this joint university work, Bridging the Atlantic, is a milestone for the study of peak oil and resources generally. You can find a link to the informative press release, plus the paper abstract, at least complete with the all-important graphs, in my weekly show blog at ecoshock.info. Our guest is Christian Kirschner, and he's from Europe, but he's working with the University of Maryland team as well. Thank you, Christian, for joining us on Radio EcoShock.
You're welcome.
I'm Alex Smith.
You're listening to EcoShock Radio for the world.
I'm Alex Smith. Get it all at our website, ecoshock.org.